Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. I want to welcome you in person, online, or even if you're watching a little bit later online. It's good to have you with us. Glad that you've chosen to spend this time with us. We obviously are having a little bit of technical issues with some microphones cutting in and out. And so I know that all of you are now sitting there praying that mine cuts out and cuts out quickly. And so I will have a series of packs that I can go through, and I'll exhaust them all before I dismiss you. Just letting you know that up front. This will come as a shock, but how many of you have ever noticed that there are people in the world who want other people to think like they think? I know that's a shock. And not only do we want people to think like we think, but sometimes we want people to do what we want them to do. And sometimes when we want people to think like we think or do what we want them to do, we are willing to say things to convince them to think like we think and to do what we want them to do. Have you ever noticed that people do that? Yeah, we've noticed. People do that to us all the time, right? We never do that to anyone else, but they do that to us all the time. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when people want others to think like they think or do what they want them to do, that they'll even try to use something Jesus said to convince people to think like they think or do what they want them to do. Ever notice that? And have you ever noticed how sometimes when people try to use what Jesus said to make others conform, basically, for lack of a better phrase, that sometimes what we say Jesus said isn't actually what Jesus said. Instead, what we say Jesus said, and sometimes what we say Jesus meant, is a twisted version of what was said to justify our actions, to justify our thoughts, or to justify what we have said to convince someone else to think like we think or to do what we want them to do. Now, I know this will come as a shock as well, but there are actually people who try to do this same thing with God. There are people who try to get God to do what we want God to do, regardless of whether what we want. Hey, Amanda, just grab me another pack, and if I have to swap it out, I'll swap it out. Regardless of whether what we want from God or what we want God to do is what's best for us, even when what we want is not what's best for us, we still want it. And so we try to convince others to think like we think, or we try to convince God to think like we think. We try to convince God that what we want is what's best for us, even if God tells us it's not what's best for us. And sometimes when we do this, it becomes just a twisted version of what Jesus said and what Jesus meant. One of the things that John, one of Jesus' early followers, wrote, it has become one of the most misused and twisted things that Jesus said. And we take this, hey Amanda, go ahead and just set it up to me, and I'll throw it in my back pocket. Thank you. So, John wrote what has become one of the most misused and twisted things that Jesus said. And here's what John wrote, according to what Jesus said. You can ask, thank you. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Now, this seems pretty straightforward and pretty simple. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So we take what Jesus said, and we then begin to apply that to our lives and say, I can ask for anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it. Ask, will. You can ask, and he will do it. You can ask anything, And anything means anything. Even if it's not what's best for me, I can ask, and I'll ask in Jesus' name, and it will happen. That's how we apply this quote from Jesus to our lives. But we all know that it's not true. We all know that it's not true because there are things that we have asked for that didn't happen. We have asked to get the job, and somebody else got the job. My wife asked for the perfect spouse, and she got me. We've asked to win the lottery and still struggle to make ends meet financially sometimes. We all know that this phrase, "You can ask anything in my name and I will do it," isn't true. Or is the reality that the way we understand and apply this is a twisted version of what Jesus actually said and what Jesus actually meant? Ask anything are merely two words out of almost 20,000 words in what John wrote about Jesus' life. And so if ask anything are just two words out of just under 20,000, wouldn't it be worth considering the other words around these two to see what it means? To maybe see why Jesus said what he said, who he said it to, when he said it, where he said it. Maybe those things make a difference in what he meant when he said this. So, leading into John 14, Jesus had just predicted that he would be betrayed and that he would be put to death. And when he told that to his followers, it left his followers a little bit troubled, a little bit concerned, and even a little bit confused. And so before Jesus says to them, "You can ask anything in my name and I will do it," before he says that, he's predicted his death and his betrayal, excuse me, and all of that. And then to ease some of the confusion that they had, some of the concern that they had about what he had said was coming, Jesus says this to them. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." Amen. When Jesus says, "Trust in God and trust also in me," he is equating himself to God. He is saying, "Trust in God, trust also in me, because I am the very Son of God sent to redeem sin and to restore the path to right relationship with God for all humankind who will place their trust in me." Amen. He had made this claim to be the very Son of God, and he had equated himself to God multiple times. And then he had gone on to prove who he was and to validate his claim in many ways. And so before he says ask for anything, he is affirming and validating who he who he is as the very Son of God, that he has equated himself with God, and because he is equal with God, they can place their trust in him and take confidence in the things that he has said. Yes, there are difficult times ahead. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be put to death. But he's also going to return to the Father and leave the followers. And the Father goes, "Wait, what do you mean you're going to leave us?" And he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled about this news. You can trust me because you can trust God. There is a grander plan at play. There is a grander story being written than just this moment of your concern and your trouble about what I've shared is going to happen. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And apparently, this doesn't shed much light on the confusion. It doesn't dissuade a lot of the concern. And so Jesus goes on to say, Next slide. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare... Go ahead, next slide. Nope, go back one. Go ahead and go back one for me. All right, it's not on there. Would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When Jesus addresses what's going on and their concerns, he validates himself as the Son of God. Then he talks about something that lies ahead, even beyond the concerns, even beyond the trouble that's coming. He says, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. He is taking the context beyond the here and now to a place that he is going. And he says, if this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? So Jesus is putting context to what's going on beyond the here and now and to a place that he's going. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were there, I would think that I might be still just a little bit confused. And apparently, so were his followers, because Thomas says, no, we don't know, Lord. Go ahead, next slide, Mom. No, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? I love how brutally honest Thomas is right here. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You can trust in me. You can trust in God. And I'm going to be with the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place for you and all that. And Thomas is like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. We don't know. We don't get it. In fact, not only do we not know how to get there, we have no idea where there is. We're completely lost, completely confused about what you're talking about. You're talking about the Father's house and a place to prepare for us. And no, we have no idea. So can you help us out? Can you help alleviate some of this confusion about what you're talking about? And then Jesus looks at Thomas and the rest of his followers, and he says to them, I am the way,
the truth,
and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So now he's talked about the Father's house, and now he talks about the Father again. He's talked about going to prepare a place, and Thomas has said, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. We don't know the way there. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through me as the very Son of God sent to redeem sin and to provide the path for right relationship with God. And so then Jesus goes on. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus once again equates himself as the Son, as God, when he references the Father. You already have seen God, he says. You've seen God because you've seen me. And from now on, you do know him because you have seen him. Again, referencing this idea that he is God in a body. He is God in human form. He is the very Son of God. And again, he made these claims multiple times. And he had proven them in multiple ways. And so then Philip, one of Jesus' other followers, chimes into the conversation and says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Now Jesus had just said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if you had really known me, you know the Father. Because not only do you know him, but you have seen him. And Philip comes back and says, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And in what follows, which we won't look at in specific, but in what follows in John's account, is Jesus basically reminding Philip of all the things he had heard Jesus teach and all the things that he had seen Jesus do. And then Jesus says, and these things that you have seen, and these things that you have heard, those things should be enough for you to believe. Those things should be enough for you to understand that when you have seen me do these things, you have seen God in action. Amen. When you have encountered me and heard me teach, you have heard the message of God. You've seen me put on display what God desires for humankind. You've heard me talk about the greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You've seen me in conflict with the Jewish religious leaders who had the message of God so twisted and so distorted that the meaning of what God desired for them and the meaning of what God desired for humankind was misunderstood and mispursued. And he tells Philip that I've already shown you the Father. And so as Jesus has talked about his claim to be God and talked about going to prepare a place, about being the way, the truth, and the life, and no one coming to the Father except through him, about if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And you can trust that and you can believe that because you've seen all these things. Then Jesus says, you can ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. My guess is most of us have heard the first part. We've heard, you can ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. Some of us have probably even leveraged that. Some of us have probably even gone to God and said, God, Jesus said, I can ask for anything in his name and you'll do it. But one of the reasons why so many people walk away from placing their trust in God is because they asked for something and didn't get it. That what they asked for didn't happen. Because we believe sometimes that God is just a dispenser of things. That God is there to serve us. That God is there to provide what we want him to provide when we want him to provide it. It doesn't matter whether it's what's best for us. It doesn't matter whether it will serve us well in the short term or the long term. We want what we want. And Jesus said we can ask for it and God will do it. And so we expect God to do it. And then, when God doesn't do it, we question God. We wonder why God wouldn't give us what we wanted. And we wonder whether God really cares about us. And sometimes we wonder whether God is even real. Because God didn't give us what we wanted it when we wanted it. And sometimes, When we leverage what Jesus said, it is easy to leverage it in a way that actually pulls us away from God rather than pulls us toward what God wants for us. Because we believe that God is just a dispenser of things. But when we believe that God is a God who loves us and cares about us, then we understand sometimes that someone who loves us and cares for us will not always give us what we want because they know that what we want isn't what's best for us. And when we realize that God loves us and that God cares about us, sometimes God doesn't give us what we want. And that's actually what we should want. Have you ever asked for something and got it and then wished you hadn't? Have you ever asked for something and got it and then realized that getting it was worse than not having got it to begin with? Have you ever asked for something and got it and then wished someone would have told you? or that you would have listened to someone who told you. But yet when it comes to the things we want from God, instead of embracing the belief that God is a God who loves us and cares for us and knows what's best for us, and sometimes even knows more about how the world works and doesn't than we do, we get disappointed in God, maybe even angry at God, question God, challenge God. And sometimes wish we were God instead. There's this little phrase in the middle of this sentence that Jesus said, so that. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Ask anything. Is the subject of ask anything is not me and what I want. The subject of ask anything is the glory that Jesus brings to the Father, whom he had just talked about going to prepare a place, whom he had just talked about, you've seen and you've known because you've seen me in action. When we ask for things from God, which is perfectly appropriate, we ask for things so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And sometimes that means we don't always get what we want. Think about it this way. You're driving in the car, and two kids in the back seat, brother and sister. The brother hits the sister. And the parents say, why did you do that? And the brother says, because she bit me. So the brother hits the sister because the sister bit him. And then immediately following that up, the brother goes, can we stop for ice cream? Are you stopping for ice cream? Are you stopping for ice cream? No? Yes. Why not? Why? You are not stopping for ice cream because you know something's wrong that needs to be made right. Or, same scenario. Brother hit sister, sister bit brother. Sister calls up from the back seat, hey, mom and dad, can I have a stick? Now, what do you think that stick's going to be used for? She's going to use that stick to hit her brother, right? Are you giving her that stick? Absolutely you're giving her that stick. Because we want to watch and see how this unfolds. No, you're not giving her that stick. Because you know that if you give her that stick, things are going to escalate. Things are not going to continue well. They're not going to get any better if you give her a stick. In fact, they're probably going to get worse. And not only are they going to get worse physically, but they're going to get worse relationally between the two of them. So no, you're not giving them a stick. They want a stick. They've asked for a stick. And you said no. Now, I'm pretty sure that it's easier for Jesus to bring glory to God through ice cream than it is a stick. So we're more tempted to stop for the ice cream than to hand out the stick. Because the ice cream makes us feel better. Whether it's what's best for us or not, it makes us feel better. And so we convince ourselves that stopping for ice cream is okay because ice cream will make it better. And then we realize that the way the scenario plays out, stopping for ice cream doesn't facilitate Jesus bringing glory to the Father in heaven. So most of us have heard the phrase, ask for anything and I'll do it. Most of us have leveraged it in some way. But most of us forget the so that. Because we view it as the main subject as us rather than God. And when we view it as, when we view God as the main subject, the God who loves us and cares about us and has a purpose that is being worked out, then we're able to understand a little bit more and maybe even trust a little bit more about not getting what we asked for, even though we really, really wanted it. Let's look at one more thing real quick about what Jesus said here. You can ask for anything in my name. My guess is that most of us have had a time where we've made a recommendation to someone or a referral for someone, and we've told them, when you call them, when you take that step, give them my name. Tell them I told you to call. Now, sometimes we do that just to help somebody make a connection with someone else, just a general commonality. Oh, you know them and we know you, and okay, now I've made a connection. But sometimes when we do that, we tell them to give them our name because we hope that somewhere along the way, our name will serve as a benefit to them in some way. That whether they get a better deal or whether they're given just a little bit of extra attention, when we're willing to put our name on the line for someone else, it speaks volumes. And when Jesus tells his followers, you can ask anything in my name, he's putting his name on the line for us. He's saying, you can go to the Father and you can tell the Father that I told him, that I told you to tell him. You go, I'll put my name on the line between you and God. Because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to go to God, you go to God and you tell God that I sent you. You let God know that you're a follower of mine. And I put my name on the line. Now, when we tell someone to give someone our name, and they go and misuse our name or twist what we wanted them to do for their own benefit and their own gain, how do we feel about that? It's an insult, isn't it? When we go to God and we try to leverage in Jesus' name to get what we want, even if it's not what's best for us, it's an insult to Jesus. Now, for those of you who have had kids or grandkids or been around kids or maybe even seen kids, you probably have seen something like this happen. This has happened in our family on an occasion. One of the kids will come and ask me for something. And I'll say, well, I'm not really sure. Let me think about that. And they said, but Mom said it was okay. To which I usually say, well, then I need to talk to your mom. And they're like, oh, crap, don't do that. Because they know what I will find out is when I go to Mom and say, the kids said you said this was okay. She said, well, that's not what I said. What I said was this, and they took what she said and twisted it to try to get me to give them what they wanted by leveraging Mom. So guess what happens? I say, you need to deal with your mom on this because this is between the two of you. Or sometimes I say, sorry, the answer is no, because your mom didn't say that. And the fact that you came and told me mom did say it when she didn't is an insult to your mom. And I'll not allow you to treat your mom that way. One of the main reasons people walk away from placing their trust in God is because God doesn't give them what they want. Because Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And in reality, it's not what Jesus said. What Jesus said was, trust in God, trust also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know God because you've seen me. And in the context of my relationship with the Father, and in the context of the grander story that God is writing, whatever you ask so that I can bring glory to God. You see, when we treat us as the main subject, it gets twisted. But when we untwist what Jesus said to get to the core of what he really meant, God is the main subject. A God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who loves us and cares for us enough to sometimes not give us what we want. You see, we think that ask anything means we get everything we ask for. Ask anything does not equal getting everything. In the context of what Jesus said, ask anything is about Jesus bringing glory to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes that might just change what I ask for. Let me pray for us and wrap up this morning. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for these words that Jesus spoke. Not just the two ask anything words, but the words that surround it, that direct our ask anything to you, a God who loves us, who cares for us, enough to not give us everything we ask for. God, help each and every one of us to ask for things that will facilitate Jesus bringing you glory and placing our trust in you to know more about what's best for us than we do. Help us to stay away from leveraging what Jesus said in ways that don't serve us well and don't bring you glory. Help us to stay away from leveraging what Jesus said in its attempt to get what we want or to justify doing what we want to do, even when it's not best for us. Help us to live lives that are marked by trust. Trust in you and trust in your Son who died on the cross to redeem us from sin and rose from the dead to provide victory over death and to provide a path, a way, the truth, and the life to the place that is being prepared for those who will place their trust in him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so next Sunday, we're going to look at part two of the Twisted series with another example of something that Jesus said that we twist and misunderstand and misapply in ways that present some challenges for us. So we'll check out the preview video. When the preview video is over, you're dismissed. Thanks again for choosing to spend this time with us, and we hope it's not your last time.